Flying Talkers podcast brought to you today by your friends at Pay Cargo, the better way to pay and to save time and money. You see, Pay Cargo has a better idea. By simplifying the payment process to more than 3,000 vendors, cargo moves faster. Pay Cargo saves you time and money by expediting important data and funds to ensure rapid release of your cargo. Maybe best of all, you get the time to build your business assured that the Pay Cargo team is with you, providing trackable, tangible results every step of the way. So why wonder why most shipments in the Pay Cargo system get released in as little as 1 hour? Go to www.paycargo.com and explore a whole new way to pay and get paid. Pay Cargo offers flexible payment options and also available credit lines. And as the number one online platform in the world for cargo payments, www.paycargo.com can offer you a level of service, financial expertise, and connectivity that makes it easy to ship, click, and pay. So go to www.paycargo.com and get the rest of the story. Discover how Pay Cargo simplifies a better way to pay and get paid. And tell them Flying Talkers sent you. That's www.paycargo.com. Great people to do business with. It strikes me, just a little bit past the halfway point in 2023, air cargo having held a half dozen events, trade shows, has not spoken very much at any one of them about how it plans outreach for marketing itself to carry forward a cohesive image to augment the millions of dollars in free publicity it received during the COVID years. Yeah. There are a lot of stories about sustainability and other topics. Vast sums of air cargo budgets are spent on vying for self-congratulatory awards. More exposure probably should be given to how demand to get life-saving medicines and other supplies was accomplished, and how innovation and ingenuity and inventiveness of air cargo people really made a difference in the pandemic that came and descended like a black cloud all over the world. About the freighter fleets that were added, right now the story isn't about the next assignments. Today the storylines are, what the hell are we going to do with them now? The smartest thing anybody in air cargo ever said about the future of our industry were words Bill Bosch delivered as president while putting American Airlines cargo on the international route map of the world during the 1990s. Bill is always right to the point, the way executives like Jan Krems is today at United Cargo, or Jacques Ancher was at KLM Cargo, or Fred Smith at FedEx, or John Mahoney was at Seaboard World, or Gunter Rohrmann was at Air Express International, AEI Wings and Wheels. Bill said, what air cargo has already done points to the way for its future. But the future is not necessarily assured. The only way to predict the future of air cargo is to create it, said Bill Bosch in 1995. Those words from nearly 30 years ago were both an absolute truth and also an appeal that still pertains to the industry today. It remains to be seen post-COVID if cargo can do better, do its job better as an industry that markets itself to the great unwashed public at large. Anybody that thinks passenger side of the business is going to roll over and play dead, think again. What you've seen happen that's impacted all the grandiose plans and pie in the sky, you want to call it, whatever you want to say about it, is the passengers came back. The core challenge, we believe, remains also akin to some words uttered by Julius Maldutis, the financial research guy at one time at Salomon Brothers, who said he thought that the air cargo industry, unlike passengers, remains a largely undefined business. The question in 2023 is, what's changed? In aviation history, the last time air cargo had an opportunity like the one delivered to it in the COVID epidemic was 1948, when the Berlin Airlift invented the industry. Everybody came to air cargo all at once. 100 air cargo companies all over the world were formed with surplus DC-3s and Curtiss C-46 airplanes, with business models that in most cases all basically copied each other. It went on after World War II, after the Berlin Airlift in 1948. I talked to the people that were there. I worked with the people that were there. It was the sky's the limit, sky's no limit. Everybody was going nuts. Air cargo was the coming things. There were queues in Tempelhof of people that were sweeping up coal dust out of the airplanes to use to keep themselves warm at home. Eggs, chickens, necessities of life, daily life. They kept a city alive. You've heard this story a million times. How great was that? There's still a couple of airlines flying DC-3s, but that's another story. The dynamic here is what happened once happened again. In 2023, dynamic new talent like the visionary Eduardo Del Rego, founder of Miami-based PayCargo, has come up with transformational ways to pay that strip all the BS out of this system and gives people the opportunity to think about their business as opposed to sitting there chewing on when are they going to get paid. Simple. Real easy. Same for Ingo Zimmer, CEO GSSA of ATC. That's grown by leaps and bounds with a staff of mostly eclectic group of former cargo professionals, plus a cadre of brilliant up-and-coming young people. Zimmer's addition of the great pioneering Jane Vaz in Delhi and moves in South America and other places, Jane is in Delhi, as I said, offers an absolutely thrilling new deal for India Air Cargo. And how about Amar Moore? And how about Amar Mori, co-founder of Kale Logistics Solutions, that burst on the scene, fresh as Listerine, with answers and solutions for streamlining the last mile to and from cargo handling facilities. Innovation and change in air cargo today exists. And it's all done very well for the last couple of years. But we're just wondering, what can we do to make it more than, well, it's a flash in the pan again? Let's back up and bring the airport people in and the other people that have come in that are new. Innovation and support for change in air cargo today is there. But one can only wonder why, for example, IATA, especially after the air cargo brethren showed such style and class, even strapping cargo into passenger seats during the pandemic act like they cannot wait to get back to passenger business. How about giving cargo some comeuppance and allowing for some homegrown show me, with maybe IATA Cargo leading the way in gathering some smart cargo thinking toward a bigger can-do future for all of us, but best of all, by mounting a global campaign touting just how good we are as a people in the transportation business and sending out a message as far as possible to the great unwashed. Just saying. Back where the rubber meets the road, once again we're talking Bill Bosch. He's still piloting his way towards studying and developing the industry via the military and elsewhere. He's happy to report that after 60 years, he still loves it more than ever. The constant life of pushing back and upward, morning, noon, and night. Of course, night, where the animal always lives. The challenge right now, Bill said, isn't money. Money in 2023 is not the answer. Small operators of freighters have a challenge, a significant yield loss. During COVID, freighter operators answered the call and did the job, but many expanded too fast and too much, Bill said. Now, as demand has slackened, labor and specifically the unions will impact the industry more than anything else. At the same time, stockholders want their share, so industry advocates should also be the ones to be concerned about the current environment. You hear that pilot demands are for 40% plus increases in salaries. And who knows about that? But expand that thinking to realize that as a business returns, as it always does, change will undoubtedly continue, Bill said. One example of how all of this downward pressure and scramble for realignment is the move that will speed up the advent of pilotless aircraft, Bill suggests. No doubt investment in technology is smart money right now. This is Jeffrey. Thanks for tuning in. We'll keep our eye open and our minds open, and see you down the trail. We join a very small group of companies in aviation in modern times that can say they've flown DC-3s and 737s. That's Mikey McBrien, general manager of Buffalo Airways up in Yellowknife, up in Canada, serving the Northwest Territories. See what he told Cabin Radio, the Yellowknife Northwest Territories radio station. As Buffalo Airways added a Boeing 737 freighter to its fleet. It's not a brand new airplane. In fact, it's a few decades old, but that's not the point. 737s are renewable resources, and it's the first jet aircraft in the airliner's 50-year history. Completed its long-awaited 80-minute test flight last week in Europe. Hay River-based Buffalo acquired the 737-300SF last year, saying the purchase was necessary because existing freight connections into the NWT cannot keep up with next day demand. Freight carried by Buffalo mostly arrives in the Northwest Territories by truck. Cargo is then loaded onto the airliners DC-3s, they're still flying them, C-46s, and some of them, approaching 80 years old, are still ripped, ready, and flying for onward travel to the territory's smaller communities. Places like Yellowknife, places like Hay River, places like Norman Wells. Little Native Canadian settlements that in the wintertime, aside from some ice truckers and some other ways they get cargo, really actually have no advocate for emergency quick delivery of cargo. So Buffalo slogs on with its contracts from the Canadian government and from other places, and has really built a great tradition of serving that area. In 2022, Buffalo said its 737 replaced most of the airline's reliance on trucks to get freight into its network. The likes of the DC-3s will still be used to cover the final journeys into smaller communities, not the least because of the 737 is not equipped to handle gravel airstrips. The aircraft has been undergoing refurbishment work and checks in Bournemouth, England since last year's purchase. In terms of the B-737 service, Mikey said, "Now things will happen quick," he smiled. It's thought a hookup for enhanced services and partnerships in addition to their regular runs are part of the plan moving ahead. Last year, a team from Buffalo Air Cargo appeared at the International Air Cargo Association TIACA Air Cargo Forum meeting in Miami, getting ready for the Buffalo's 737 launch. Looks like the epic tale has no limit or equal for this company adventure, often viewed on the Ice Pilots series on TV's Weather Channel. If you haven't seen that show, cannot suggest it more highly. If you happen to tune in and see some ripping old aircraft carrying cargo, you'll learn in a big fat hurry. This is an air cargo resource for everybody else that actually cares about what they're delivering and who they're delivering it to in these little communities that absolutely rely on them when things shut down, when things are 40 degrees below zero. Off they go into the wild blue yonder. In the back of their minds thinking, well, see, this is airplane's 85 years old and has reciprocating piston engines and it has to worry about whether or not it's going to be able to buy the fuel it needs in a couple of years. But there it is with its intrepid leader, Joe McBrien, still up there and serving. And I would imagine at this time of the year that Buffalo is fighting fires left and right as they seem to be raging everywhere in Canada now. But if you could see that show on the Weather Channel, watch it. It's fun to watch. It's usually people in the beginning of their career. People take jobs working at Buffalo Airways because they come in young and they come in with an eye to becoming flyers or becoming cargo people, and Buffalo gives them that opportunity. And they're always hiring. They're hiring right now. You want to work as a ramp, they call them rampies. At LaGuardia, we used to call them ramp rats. People, you want to work on a ramp, you want to mop off the wing of a DC-3 with some solution to keep the ice from forming on it. You want to, if you feel adventuresome and young like that, Buffalo will give you that shot. Well, the 737 was flying across the pond to join its new routing in Canada from Edmonton, I understand. The founder of the airline, Joe McBrien, was off in his DC-3 to deliver some people or some cargo someplace up in the Canadian wilderness. 1998, I published a history of Canadian airports as part of an assignment for Airports Council International that created an 800-page global Great Airports Worldwide is what I did, of airports all over the world. Some of those in Canada, were so remote that their operators sent maps of where they were located. But you know what? I missed a bunch of little companies that I didn't know about. And I often think how much better my book might have looked if I would have had been able to get everything done. But in all, I guess we had over 30 airports in Canada we wrote about, got some pictures, whatever we could find. And my book had 137 airports featured from around the world, plus some other features. Today, every time the subject comes up about airports and their people in aviation, I sit down and write another story. I feel the expectation and the possibilities flowing. Bless them all for their heart making, the going great, and memories great. Most recently, think the project of Buffalo's Mikey McBrien, who's their manager, son of Joe McBrien, achieved in taking a DC-3 that flew in the skies above France on June 6, 1944, D-Day, took it off the junk heap, and made it airworthy enough to fly to celebrate the 80th anniversary of D-Day a couple years back. I thought that was absolutely outstanding. And given the challenge and the remoteness of what goes on with several airlines that operate up into the wilderness in Canada, especially Buffalo, I just think when it comes to the history of aviation, it seems to be alive every day. There's more spirit to it. So thanks for the heads up. If you can include more information about things going on up in Canada to us, we'll cover it and we'll proudly present it. Keep them flying. Buffalo Airways. Flying Talkers, brought to you today by the people of ATC. From Frankfurt, Germany to the world, with offices open everywhere, ATC is the reliable general services and sales agent, GSSA, for top-rated customer satisfaction. If your airline is delivering service excellence, chances are ATC represents them somewhere. There's no secret sauce here. ATC's extraordinary expertise and service ethic harkens back to a time when results-driven cargo executives were the product of a lifetime of best practices and great training. So contact ATC, one world, one great air cargo GSSA. ATC Aviation can be contacted at atc.aviation.com and tell them Flying Talker sent you. That's atc-aviation.com. Finally, this might be one for the Society for the Unexplained. In a kerfuffle between a freight forwarder, Cargo On Demand, and Polar Air in New York, wherein Cargo On Demand is suing Polar, a judge named Jesse Furman threw the case out July 11th, ruling in favor of Polar, saying, quote, "The complaint appears to rely on a theory that Polar Air Cargo is vicariously liable for the acts of its executives." That's a quote. Okay. The judge also granted Cargo on Demand a last chance, or will become final, on August the 11th, 2023. Cargo on Demand, a longtime customer of Polar as we see it, had claimed it had lost $4 million through fraud and racketeering at the cargo airline. Now, as we go to press, Cargo on Demand couldn't be reached for comment, but this is what's on the record. A second fraud and racketeering suit following a separate indictment filed on March 13th, 2023 against some of Polar's current and former executives is still pending. But get this, at the same court with the same judge, the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York said the 10 suspects face felony charges including wire fraud, conspiracy and money laundering in connection with the allegations of long-standing fraud and racketeering going on at Polar Air Cargo that had cost the airline an estimated $52 million in lost revenue. Well, now we're talking some real money. It seems sort of peculiar. Reminds me of the year Casey Stengel moved from the winning World Baseball Championship New York Yankees 5 years in a row to becoming the first man to manage the crosstown rivals newly formed New York Mets. And that team that year managed to lose a record number of games. Casey, in a locker room pep talk, exclaimed, "Does anybody here know how to play this game?" Well, stay tuned. We're on the case. And for your time, this time, until next time, this is Jeffrey saying, keep your chin up, keep them flying, try to find some place to fly those freighters for sure, and good night, Joe, wherever you are. Goodbye.